Welcome everyone here this morning and you our viewers. This is our Sunday Easter morning service. And kind of caught me off guard. But all that I have to share is just what's been on my heart anyway. I have a diagram in the back, and I'll probably refer to the diagram. I like using diagrams. It's just things get cleared up a little bit for me. I won't say that by understanding the diagram you're going to have it. Now I'll just say that by understanding the diagram you're still needing the Lord to appear in your heart. Because it's not a diagram, he's actually a living person. And what's been on my heart for a while is obedience. Okay? And so that's been what's been on my heart. And just here recently, Old Covenant and New Covenant came into the picture. And because it's the obedience of the heart, and just in my last School of Christ classes, I touched on that just a little bit, and I'd like to just share that here this morning. And I think I'll just go real quick and give you a real quick, I guess, introduction to my diagram. All right. Perfect Easter Sunday. We know the story. Jesus, sent of the Father, sent of God, born of a virgin. Now Jesus, God, Emmanuel, is among man. All right. And then he picks out his disciples and they follow him. They're with him for 3.5 years. And then finally it comes to the point where he's obedient unto death. He's crucified, he's buried, and the third day he's risen again, which I guess that's the day that everyone, the majority of all believers, are celebrating today, is his resurrection. Okay? All right, so here's just what I've said. Here's with the diagram. All mankind, and I know that many of you guys know the diagrams and everything, but just for those who may not, who are viewing this morning, I'll just wrap up all mankind with a square. It's a particular type of nature. It's a particular type of character. It's a particular kind. All right, it's a kind. Just the same way that man is not the same as a rabbit. Two different kinds there. Man is not the same as a grape. Two different kinds, okay? So here we have all mankind, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, but here's all mankind. We all know that Adam and Eve, you know, they partook of that, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and then they fell. They never had life to begin with. And even those who are walking around, moving, breathing, thinking, they don't have life either until they are born again. John, in one of his epistles, he says this: he who hath the Son hath the life. Jesus also said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. Apart from Christ in the soul, that body has no life. It's an existence apart from life. So that's the whole situation right here of mankind. You know, they need life because Christ is not present in the soul. I was thinking back when I was in high school, and I shared this once during a class, or actually maybe I didn't, I can't remember, but you guys may remember this. The phrase was, I think, therefore I am. Well, recently, several months ago, I thought about it, and it's like, I think, therefore I am ignorant. See, because this whole Adamic creation, this whole man right here, yeah, he exists, he thinks. Great thinkers, you know, are found in here. But they're ignorant of the fact that they have no life. Okay? Bring it over here into the born-again believer. I haven't gone through the whole diagram yet, but with the born-again believer, it's the same situation. We think with this little carnal mind, and we know not the life we have. There's a difference. The one who's not born again doesn't know that they need life. The one who is born again has no clue the life they have. And that is a fact. You can see it in the Gospel of John, chapter 9. There was a man who was born blind. He was in a creation. He was in a day. He was literally, Jesus found him in the day. He had no clue of the creation he was in. He had no clue of the light that was there. He had no clue of Christ who was present. All right. So here you have like all of creation, all of man, all of mankind. This is from Adam up to the point where Jesus was born. And if you want, afterwards, whatever. All creation, all mankind with no life. Okay? Now, they're in a state of death. We know that that in the garden, God said, the day you eat of that tree, you will die. They entered into a state of death. It wasn't that they died physically, because they still, you know, went around. I mean, they populated the whole human race, basically. But they were in a condition of death where life could not be received at that point. There were two main trees in the garden. There was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and then there was the tree of life also in the midst of the garden. Okay? So, in contrast to the tree of life, there was the tree of life and there was the tree of death. Being in a state of death, in a condition of death, you cannot partake of life. That's why the Lord drove them out. He got them out of the garden. Okay? They're outside of the garden and life is preserved. Life remains. Okay? But man did never partake of that tree, which tree represents Christ. He never partook of that tree, so he stayed in a condition of death. Okay? Though moving around, breathing, you know, here today, gone tomorrow, civilizations come, gone, he still has no life. Right? Even in the testimony, there's the testimony of Christ all throughout the Old Testament. All right? It's just speaking of life, speaking of Christ, speaking of Jesus, and the testimony is saying, he's coming, and this is what to expect him. But even with Abraham, Abraham didn't have any life. Here's Abraham. He's one place. God is another place. The Lord appears. He appears on the outside. Jesus said, Abraham saw my day and rejoiced. Well, that day he saw was when Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw, and it says, from afar. And that's the Old Covenant. Old Covenant is on the outside, from afar. It's away from you. All right. Looking with Adam, it said that the Lord walked with Adam in the cool of the evening. Well, there's Adam, and here's God over here. Adam's one place, God is another. All right. Even before, forgive me, I didn't check it out, but I'm not. I think it was even before they partook of that tree in the garden. Adam was one place, God was another. You keep on going all throughout the Old Testament. And I'll say this, even the Old Covenant. In the Old Covenant, God is one place, man is in another place. And never the two shall meet and be one. Okay? Even with all of the patriarchs, with David, with Jacob, the Lord appeared to Jacob, with Isaac, all these, and even Isaiah. I mean, it's a testimony of Christ of what needs to happen as well in the heart of the believer. Christ must appear. Okay? But even with all those who saw the Lord, it was from the outside. But it's testifying of a scene that must take place on the inside. And that's the difference between Old Covenant and New Covenant. Just a real quick basic definition, Old Covenant, New Covenant. Old Covenant, outside, far away. You can see it. You can maybe touch it. It's almost like a piece of fruit. You can see it. You can touch it. You can smell it. You can't taste it. It's there, but it's one place. You're in another. New covenant, near, even in you. The new covenant is on the inside. That's the main difference between the old covenant and the new covenant. The new covenant is on the inside, right? So here we have like all mankind in this state of death, and they could not receive life in that state. So here God sends his son. Here's Jesus, completely different nature, completely different character, completely different kind, represented by a circle, eternal. Okay, here's above eternity, and below we have time, like a timeline. All right, there was a beginning where Adam began, but God has no beginning and no end. He just is. Time is for this creation, not for God. He always was, always is, and always will be. Okay? So here comes Jesus, sent of the Father. Now, even Jesus with his disciples, I mean, it's beautiful in the Gospels. Jesus walked with his disciples. You know, all he would say is, you follow me, and hey, it wasn't a please follow me. No, no. He just said it. You follow me. If they followed him, it is unto their benefit. If they didn't, it is, well, there's no benefit at all. You know, man does not receive anything having not, you know, followed in that state. Okay? So, but even with the disciples, here's Jesus and here's his disciples. Jesus is one place, his disciples are in another place. And see, that's still old covenant. It's old covenant, though the new covenant himself, Christ himself, is among them. All right? It's still, this whole state of man is in a new covenant state. All right? In an old covenant state. Because Christ is one place, Jesus is one place, and his disciples are in another place. They can see everything Jesus did, but they still don't have any life. All right? So, it comes to the point where Jesus is obedient unto death. He comes, he's crucified. And what he does, and forgive me, a bunch of you that you may be upset with this example, but I watch movies. You know, I'm born again, I watch movies. If that offends you, forgive me. I remember this movie, Pirates of the Caribbean, the very first one. And I remember when they came under the curse, right? There was that one crew of pirates, they came under the curse, and they were in a state of death. They couldn't get out of that state. You know? They couldn't. I remember that one captain, he always had like a bushel of apples or something, and he always looked at it. And it was right there, he just couldn't enjoy it. He couldn't eat it. He was in a state of death. Okay? All mankind in that state of death, they cannot have life. In that state, they cannot continue, and that's what the Lord said. Lest they continue in that state, they can't continue in that state. That's not the state that the Lord intended. That was not their purpose. That's not what the Lord purposed for them. Okay. Jesus, when he's crucified, the cross. See, the crucifixion and the cross are two different things. The cross is something eternal. The crucifixion is just what happened in time. See, I even have this separating time and eternity with the eternal cross. That's what I call it, the eternal cross. When Jesus was crucified, he literally took in unto himself all this state of man in unto himself. That's what he said. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Well, it's all into me. I will take, like, I'm not going to use that. All right, here's a book. I've read different ones to use this example. Here's a book. Here's this pen. If I stick this pen in this book, anything that happens to this book will happen to the pen. It's automatic. It will happen. That's exactly what Jesus did in the cross. He took all of a kind, all of a creation, all of a state of being in unto himself. You can hear the other verses saying he became sin for us. He became a curse. He took it all in unto himself, okay? He's crucified. He dies. He brings this state to an end. This state of death, he brings it to an end. He brings it to an end. I call it the death of death. He brings it to death. Okay? He He brings it all after dying. He brings it all to be buried. All right? All that state is buried because he's buried. Remember with our example with the book, whatever happens to the book happens to anything in that book. Okay? And then he comes forth in resurrection and that state remains buried, never to be seen again. I think, I'm not sure if it was the last time I shared, forgive me, it's been a while, but you see the testimony of it with Moses, the Egyptians, and Israel. The Lord speaks to Moses, go tell Pharaoh, Israel is my son, even my firstborn, let my son go. Okay, so here now you have like another example from the testimony. Here you have Israel has no life. They're in Egypt, the abode of the dead. They have no life there. All right. The Lord sends Moses, a deliverer. All right. There's the death of the lamb. And we all know that it's the death of the firstborn. If you did not partake of this death, then the firstborn would die. Okay, well, really what happened right there is if one man died for all, therefore all died. Why? Because it's the death of the firstborn. And it's not just, it's the firstborn of Egypt, of the abode of the dead, all that had no life. So I take that all the way back to Adam, because Adam didn't have any life either. All right? So there it is. All die there, and that's basically what Egypt said. You know, Egypt said, you know, get out of here. They're telling the Israelites, get out of here, leave us. We be dead men. We be dead. All right? All happened with the death of the lamb. Now remember, right after that happened, and I know they've been showing these movies, they have to have been showing these movies of Moses, you know, during Easter. I think as a kid I remember them doing that. Right after that, what's the next thing that happens? They cross the Red Sea. The Red Sea is a type of burial. All right? Israel goes through the Red Sea. Okay, the waters part, we know it, the waters part, Israel goes through on dry ground. But guess what? Egypt also comes through on dry ground. Mm-hmm. It's testimony. Mm-hmm. Egypt's already dead. Mm-hmm. They died when the lamb was slain. All right, the Passover, they died here. And that's the whole deal with the Passover. The angel went over and he said, okay, if I see blood on the door, judgment, death has already come to this house. Continues until he finds a house where no blood, then judgment, death. Okay? So they all partook of death whether they wanted to or not. Not based on what they did or what they didn't do. It just depends were you found in the house with the blood already on it or not. Okay? So all Egypt follows them into the burial. They follow them into the Red Sea. But guess what? We know the story. We've seen the pictures. The Lord tells Moses, I'm just thinking of the movie, stretch out your hand upon the water and go like that. And then the waters come back. And what happens? All Egypt is buried, never to be seen again. And that's what Moses said. These Egyptians that you see today, you will see again no more forever. Buried out of sight. Okay. Bringing it up to speed. Now, whether Israel at that point understood it or not, they are in resurrection. They are in type in resurrection. Okay. They are ignorant of the resurrection. They have, and what I mean by ignorance is not a bad thing. It just means you don't know. See, when you confess like Solomon did, I'll bring in King Solomon, the wisest man on earth. When you confess like Solomon did, Lord, I am but a child. I know not. I know not. And that request, it says, it pleased the Lord. The same type of pleasure that it gives God to reveal his son in a soul. But see, anytime we say we know, we do this to the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, you know, to the Pharisees, they said, well, are we blind also? He said, you say you see, therefore your sin remains. Your separation remains. And that's all sin is. It's separation. Sin is coming short of the goal, coming short of the glory of God. It's separation. You know? So anyway, so all death remains buried. And it's buried out of God's eyes. Okay, here's all Israel now in type and resurrection. Okay, bringing it back with Jesus. Okay, I have to kind of shade that real quick because this does not apply to Christ. Jesus was crucified. He walked with his disciples. He was crucified. dead, buried, he's risen. Okay, remember, this is not a part of this example right here. Just block that out for right now. Now, he is raised. Okay? And Jesus said, if I go unto my Father, I will come again, that where I am, you may be also. He came again, indwelt the soul. They could now be indwelt, the soul where he could now come in. Remember, in this state, man could not receive life. In that state of death, man could not receive life at all. I mean, people live, people die, they couldn't receive life. Those who hoped and looked for that life, when Christ was crucified, dead, buried, raised again, they entered into that life. They entered in. They received at that moment. And then you find this example that the saints of old came forth after his resurrection. They went and walked into Jerusalem. All right, so that's just kind of there. All right, so Jesus is right here. He's raised. He comes and he fills his church. He fills his body. All right. If Christ is in the soul, then that one is in Christ. The thing is, you cannot see it with a natural eye. That's what Jesus said. Do you not believe that I am the Father and the Father in me? They couldn't even see it with Jesus. We are not. We'll never see it with a natural eye. You can't see it with a natural eye. You won't. It's a weird concept. I and my Father are one. That's not what they teach you in elementary school. 1 + 1 = 2. It makes no sense. I and my Father are one. What are you saying? One. Okay? So here, now his disciples have life. All right? With the example, one who's born again, he has no life until Christ appears in the soul. When Christ appears in the soul, everything that happened to Jesus happens to that soul. Death, burial, resurrection. Okay? The moment you are born again, you have life. Guess what? The moment you're born again, life appears. Why? Because Christ appears in the soul. And because Christ is in the soul, you are now found in resurrection because you're found in Christ, in Jesus himself. All right? Jesus also said this, in that day you will know. And I love that. He says, in that day you will know. I am in my Father. You are in me. And I am in you. Okay? In. In that day you will know I am in my Father. You are in me. And I am in you. That's New Covenant. The majority of us who are born again, we have life. We have life because Christ is present. Life is present in our soul. And we have this little understanding, and I call it ignorance. See? It's a dashed square. It's not there. It's there in... I studied it recently. It's there in our illusion, in our imagination. You know? It's there. Because in reality, it's not there. We keep it there alive in our heart. It's our own treasured illusion. We have life, we have no clue of the life we have. All right? Until the heart turns to the Lord and the veil is removed. The veil of what? The veil that covers our heart. From what? From the glory of God that is present. That's why you have the majority of born-again believers, they are truly born-again. I myself was one of them. Loving Jesus. And completely contrary to him in every which way. And then weeping and crying and repenting and saying, I'm sorry, God. I'm not like Jesus. I try to be like Jesus. I just can't do it. You know. And then my prayer would be, help me to be more like Jesus. Well, he doesn't answer that prayer. He doesn't. I'll give you this example. When I was in Bible school, there was a... One of the Bible school students had a little girl, and for a time, just for a time, she would play that she was like a little puppy dog. She went around on all fours, you know, barking and making little puppy dog noises and stuff. And I thought, you know, and it was cute. It was cute. She was playing. It was her imagination. She was using her imagination. All right. And everyone thought it was cute. It was great. Then I thought, what if she bit someone? I mean, sometimes dogs do that, right? They bite someone. How would her mother treat her? Would she treat her according to her imagination, or would she treat her according to truth? Would she go, little puppy dog, don't act that way. Be a nice puppy dog. No bite. You know, would she do that? No, she wouldn't. She'd say, I don't know what, I don't know the way she would do it, but basically she'd say, you're not a puppy dog. You're my daughter. That you're not that kind. You're of a different kind. And even though you're playing, that's not reality. That's your imagination. And she would keep continuing to tell her the truth until her heart would finally believe her mother and possibly go to a natural mirror and see how different she is than a puppy dog. Do you know what I mean? Well, it's all a greater deal with the Lord. See, when the Lord does not deal with us according to our imaginations, don't you love that? According to our illusions, according to what we think, He deals with us according to the truth. He presents to us the truth. He presents to us the truth in the face of His Son. Because just like that, the example with the little girl, if her mother would have just put a mirror where she could see her true reflection, she would see, my gosh, I guess I'm not a puppy dog. If we would see the true reflection of Him who is our life, we would say, my God, this is not my life. I thought it was. It's not. I thought I was the life. That's not the life. That's Christ being revealed. As I stated, from Old Covenant to New Covenant, the Old Covenant is on the outside. The New Covenant is on the inside. We see, even just because of the class that I've been having for a while, obedience. We try to obey the Lord on the outside, you know, because in our minds, God gave them a list of do's and don'ts. We call them the Ten Commandments. But really, in our minds, that's what it boils down to, a list of do's and don'ts. That's what religion says. Okay, this is what you have to do, and this is what you no longer need to do. Don't do this, do this. That's just religion. But even in the testimony, it's declaring Christ, because it said Moses came down with the tables of testimony. It was a picture of Jesus. They just didn't see Jesus. They saw themselves. And they said, we can do that. And the Lord said, I just want to present Christ to you. I want to present my Son to you. That's it. So, Old Covenant, New Covenant. They tried to obey God outwardly, doing and not doing. Well, sometimes they were successful and sometimes they failed. But in the New Covenant, see, everyone who's born again, you are in the New Covenant. Why? Because the New Covenant is in you. And I think it's in Isaiah, God the Father is talking to Jesus, God the Son, and He's saying, I will give you as a covenant unto the people. You are the covenant. And I'm going to give you as that unto the people. Jesus also said, they are they that testify of me. I will give you as a covenant unto the people. So when Christ appears in the soul, when one is born again, then they are in the new covenant. Now it's all no longer old covenant. Now it's all on the inside, new covenant. We try to... I remember when I was first born again, and you want to please God. You want to. I mean, it's in you to please Him, but you can't please Him according to the old covenant. And what I mean by that, you cannot please Him by what you do and by what you don't do outwardly. Like I said earlier, I may have offended people by saying that I watch movies. You know, some people would say, "Well, you can't watch movies. That's not godly or something." Well, really, what you do in the outward, it's old covenant. You know, that's not. If I don't watch movies, it's not going to please God anymore. If I do watch movies,
that's right.
You see. If I grow a beard, it's not going to please God anymore if I shave it off the next day. Do you see what I mean? If I grow my hair out long, it's not going to please God anymore than if I have it with a crew cut or if I just shave my head. outward does not please the Lord. You know, that's one of the things that he told Samuel with Saul. Here's Saul, the Lord says, just do this. Saul couldn't do it. Why? He wasn't obedient in his heart. His heart didn't turn. The Lord says, I rejected Saul, who is a type of the natural man type, you know, and I've chosen me a king. Here's what I was going to get to. Here's Samuel, whom the Lord sent to pick out his new king, King David. Well, we know the story. Samuel's in the house. There's all these sons. And, oh, it's this one. The Lord says no. Oh, it's this one. The Lord says no. Oh, it's this one. The Lord says no. So, Samuel's conclusion could have been, well, I can't pick anybody. I have no clue. I don't know. Because I look according to with my natural mind, my natural eye. I judge according to the flesh, according to the natural eye. I just don't know. I can't do it. The Lord says, the Lord does not look on the outward appearance. The Lord looketh upon the heart. It was during an old covenant time. He's declaring in testimony the new covenant. The Lord looketh upon the heart, on the inside, on the inside. Also, in the Old Testament, even declaring the new covenant, the Lord, I think it's Ezekiel, where it says, the valley of dry bones. These are all, they have no life, Lord. You know, they have no life. Ezekiel's having a conversation with the Lord. And how shall these dead bones live? And the Lord says, I will put my spirit in them and they shall live. New covenant. While in an old covenant time where God's one place, man is another place, he's declaring the new covenant because it's also a testimony. Okay? Now, with the heart, we cannot please the Lord by anything we do or don't do outwardly. Remember? With the request that King Solomon had, I am but a child. All right, here's with our diagram again. Here's like King Solomon. You know, he's in type, it's a testimony, he's in type of Israel. Okay? I am but a child. I don't know. That's what he said. I'm a child. I don't know. I just don't know. Beautiful confession. Beautiful confession. But we don't want to make that confession. We want to say, I know. Therefore, in our hearts, our separation remains. Therefore, in our hearts, we in our minds are in an old covenant. We are one place and God is in another place. It's just, and the Lord, you know, the Lord doesn't deal with us like that because we are not in the old covenant. We are in the new covenant. That's why he reveals his son in on the inside of us. That's why the day, Peter said, the morning must dawn in your heart. Not the natural day, the day that Christ is in your heart. It must dawn in your heart. The light must come and shine in your heart. As God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, so hath he shined in our hearts to give, here we go, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ in our hearts. That's new covenant. God is on the inside. He's no longer on the outside. If you're born again, you are in the new covenant. God is on the inside. Regardless whether you know that or not. And when I say no, I don't mean by, okay, I understand it. Jimmy produced a really good diagram and I figured it out. No. No. We still don't know it. Until Jesus said, in that day, you will know. It's only until that day. What day? Who shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. As I said, like as Peter said it, till the day star arise in your hearts. Till the morning break in your heart. Till the day arises in your hearts. Christ is revealed. Till the veil is taken away and we see him who has always been there. Our life. We just have a wrong concept. We think something else is our life. But new covenant, Christ is your life. In that day you will know, I am in my Father, you are in me, and I am in you. In. That's new covenant. Not, I'm in one place and you're in another. No, new covenant is in. All right. I almost lost my train of thought. There you go. So from the Old Covenant to the New Covenant. The passage that I've kind of been dancing around is 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. And the context of the passage is that the Apostle Paul is contrasting the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. Oh, yes, and I just thought about, we were talking about how we cannot obey the Lord outwardly. Why? Because we are in an Old Covenant mentality if we try to obey Him outwardly. But that's a mentality. We are, if we are born again, we are in the New Covenant. And obedience is of the heart. Obedience is on the inside. In the New Covenant, everything is on the inside. Okay? Just real quick example. If it talked about a creation in the Old Covenant, in the New Covenant, the creation is in you because Christ is in you. He's that very new creation. And even I've shared this before. What is the first thing that God does in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verses 1 through 3? It says God created. There's the creation. Okay, what is the first thing He does is in His creation? He says, "Let there be light." The light of day. And it wasn't a natural light. He didn't create the light. The light appeared. Christ appeared. Okay? That's the very first thing He wants to do in one who's born again. Say, "Let there be light." But what if we say, "Well, I already see. I already have life." And the Lord's hands are tied. All He can do is continue to declare the truth until we, like the wisest man on earth, King Solomon, say, "I am but a child." I love it. "Thy servant is but a child. And I do not know." And it goes on, and He gives things that He doesn't know about. But He says, "Thy servant is but a child. I do not know." And it pleased the Lord His request. And you find the same thing picked up in the New Testament with Paul. But when it pleased God to reveal His Son in me. New Covenant. If there's an obedience talked about in the Old Testament, it's Old Covenant obedience. It must, now in the New Testament, it happens on the inside, in the heart. The heart, that's why we'll read it here in a second in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. The heart now must be obedient. Well, how will it be obedient? What do I have to do outwardly? See, that's what we always want to do. What do I have to do outwardly? No, no. Your heart must just turn unto the Lord. That's it. That's it. It's like the preacher on a Sunday service saying, "You need to repent. You need to come to Jesus." All right, I'll just use that example. You need to come to Jesus. You need to repent. You need to come to Jesus. Well, they say you need to repent for all the stuff you did, but you know, it's like to me, it's like going to a graveyard. What do they need? Do they need to get forgiveness for what they've done or what they haven't done? No, what they need is life. That's really what needs to be presented. If you're not born again, you need life. That's just the way it is. You need life. You know. So here's the invitation. And Jesus said, "Those who hear my voice, those who are in their graves that have no life and hear my voice, shall live." They hear the voice, and then see, even in that, with that example, you know, that I was using with like a preacher saying, "You need to come to Jesus." I'll just say it this way. You need to come to Jesus. You need to receive life because you have no life. Okay? You think you have life. If you're not born again, you have no life. You need to come to Jesus. So what happens? Something happens in the heart. You either submit and yield to the dealing of the Holy Spirit, because it's not the dealing of man. You see? It's not the dealing of man. We don't turn our hearts based on what man says, on what someone said. We turn our hearts based on what we hear the Spirit saying. Jesus said, "The words I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life." Because see, I can't touch your soul. I can't touch your heart. Now I can motivate you soulishly, where you get all excited and jump up and down and, "Ooh, I had a good day on Sunday," you know, or this or that. But that's outward stuff. That comes and that goes. You know, that will come and that will go. The Spirit touches the heart. See, there's, with all of us, there's just crud there. You know what I call it? For those who are born again, the crud of ignorance. Layers of ignorance. For those who aren't born again, it's just the cred of ignorance as well. Thinking we have a life when we have no life. Those who are born again, we have no clue the life we have. You know, and things happen in the outward and we get so crusted over, we get so hardened because we think something offended our natural life when that's not our life at all. I mean, how many lives, I've heard J.W. say this, Brother Lumen, how many lives do you have? You have one life. You either have life or you don't. But if you have life, it'd be good to know the life you have. You know? So, there they are, the Word. They declare the gospel. You need life. Come receive life. Come to Jesus. Okay? Really what happens during that moment, if one is truly born again, what happens is that their heart turns because they've heard something of God. They've heard something of God's voice. God has spoken to their heart, not man. God uses vessels. God uses man. But the words, like Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit, their life. When the Lord's dealing with the heart, you know it. Because no one can undo you like the Lord undoes you. I don't know. Forgive my grammar. But I remember myself, man, you're completely undone before the Lord. When He's dealing with your heart, you're completely undone. It's a new covenant dealing. Not outward. He's touched something on the inside. Okay? At that point, the person, what literally happens is that their heart turns into the Lord the very first time. And guess what happens there? When the heart turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Christ appears in the soul where He wasn't before. Life appears in that soul where life wasn't there before. Now that soul is born again, born from above, born of the Spirit. Okay? That was the purpose, His appearing. The purpose in the you can see it throughout Genesis to Malachi, the Testament, the Old Testament declared in the, there's a natural creation. Christ appears in that creation continually. It's the same purpose in the new creation. It's the same purpose in our soul. Christ must appear continually. That's what Jesus told Paul. You find it, the purpose for the soul, in this one verse. You can write it down if you want. It's Acts chapter 26, verse 16. You will find the purpose for God creating the soul in one verse. That is the purpose. All right. I'm going to, I'll quote it out of the James Murdoch's translation of the Syriac Peshitta. Because I've searched out with an interlinear and I came out with an archaic, grammatically archaic way of saying it, but this guy said it perfectly, in my own opinion. He said, Jesus appears to Saul and he says, I have appeared unto you. I have appeared unto thee. I have. Not a sermon, not a teaching, not of this, not of that, not a concept. Not, I have appeared unto thee. For this purpose, to constitute thee a minister and a witness, and we get all excited with that in the Christian religion, just put that aside for a moment. Make thee a minister and a witness of this. Of what? Of this, thy seeing me, for it is I who have appeared unto you, and thy seeing me hereafter. It is to continue hereafter. The appearing of Christ begins and is to have no end whatsoever. And you find it where it's declared the day arising, I think it's in Proverbs, the day growing brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter. You know what that is? That's appearing and appearing and appearing and appearing. The Paul knew it. That's what he prays for, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, light. That, for what purpose? That you may know what? The expectation of His calling. That's it. Him appearing in the soul. That you may know. And I love it. As long as we say that we know, it's like we do this to the Holy Spirit and to the Lord. We say, nope, I know. I see. But once again, with Solomon, the wisest man on earth, thy servant is but a child, and I know not. And the saying pleased the Lord. So, obeying the Lord from the outside, He doesn't care. You know, He doesn't care what you do. Jesus said, in that day many will come to me and said, Lord, Lord, didn't I serve you in this manner? Didn't I do this? Oh gosh, they threw in some miracles. Didn't I do this? Didn't I do that? Didn't I do this? Didn't I do outwardly doing? Okay? What do you say? I mean, he says, depart from me. What's his words? Why? I never knew you. The knowing he's talking about is a face-to-face knowing. It's declared in the Old Testament. It's declared in the testimony. You have it with the Ark of the Covenant. Beautiful. There's a beautiful heavenly relationship declared there. You know, the Lord tells Moses to tell the children of Israel, from above the mercy seat, on the Ark of the Covenant, above the mercy seat, between the wings of the cherubim, will I meet with you face to face? Will I meet with you? And I said face to face because the cherubims are face to face. Heavenly creatures seeing one another face to face. That's the knowing. That's the relationship. It's a face to face. It's new covenant relationship. But it happens on the inside. It doesn't happen on the outside. It's new covenant relationship where now the obedience of the heart is simply to turn unto the Lord. To turn. I love it with John. I heard the voice that spake with me. And this will get you who studied this out. The voice of a trumpet. I heard the voice. And I turned to see the voice. And I saw him. And I love it with Paul. I mean, he hears the heavenly vision. He hears the heavenly voice. John. Now with Paul. King Agrippa. Later on in Acts chapter 26. I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. I was not disobedient. How? I continued turning my heart. And I continued in this, thy seeing me and thy seeing me hereafter. I continued in new covenant obedience. If a doctor or myself or yourself goes and gets a little rubber hammer, rubber mallet, and taps your knee, you will automatically raise your leg. You don't even have to think about it. It'll be automatic. That's new covenant obedience. Something is done, but it's done on the inside. And something automatic happens on the outside. But you didn't do it. See, you did. We want to do it. We want to do it because we want to serve the Lord. Listen, we want to be good. We want to be good Christians, right? We want to serve the Lord. But it doesn't happen outwardly by what we do or don't do. You serve the Lord by turning your heart. That's how you serve the Lord. I mean, it sounds, you're thinking, that makes no sense. It makes no sense in the natural. Well, how can that please God? Thy servant is but a child, and I know not. And it pleased the Lord. You know, I used the example with Saul, Samuel, and David. When the Lord sent Samuel on the first errand, okay, totally, here's what the Lord was saying, okay? There, Saul, ignorant or not, he's of Israel. The Lord sends Saul on an errand. Go utterly destroy the Amalekites. Alright? Or I'll put it this way, because really here's the real true testimony of it. Go utterly destroy everything that is in the land that does not belong. Exactly what Jesus did. He was to be a testimony of what Jesus did, right? Jesus, in type and figure, hey, he comes into his house. He comes into the temple. What does he do? Takes a whip, drives out everything that's not him, and he alone remains. That happens immediately at new birth. The thing is, we're clueless of who remains in the house. We think we're in the house. We think the Amalekites are in the house. We think the Jebusites are in the house. Hey, if you're born again, Christ is in the house. The same type in the Old Testament. The glory of the Lord filled the temple. Hey, all activity of man is out. Man's not present. Why? The Lord is present in his temple. That happens immediately at new birth. Remember, the glory of God now on the inside. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Where? In our hearts. The glory of God fills his temple. We just don't know it. We're ignorant. And we don't want to confess our ignorance. And therefore we remain ignorant. And all the Lord does, he just speaks the truth. He's not going to lie to us. You know, we want to try to control our barking. If you would see your life, it'd be automatic. You just wouldn't bark. I'll put it to you this way. Have you ever seen a cat bark? I think it's impossible. Naturally, in the natural realm, in nature, it's completely impossible. It won't. A cat's a cat. A dog's a dog. Do you see what I mean? He speaks to us the truth, and he speaks to us the truth continually, that we may believe the truth. And having believed the truth, our hearts turn to see the truth. We have become obedient unto the truth. How? By what we do? No, but on the inside, by simply our hearts turning to see the truth. The truth who is Christ. So the example with Saul, go destroy completely the Amalekites. Why? Because that's what I do. That's what I've done. Therefore, I want to make you a testimony of my son. Well, Saul couldn't do it. You know, he left some there. He left outwardly. He tried to do something outwardly. Okay? But what does the Lord tell Samuel? Something like, it repents me for making Saul king, because he hath, listen to this, he hath stopped from following me. Something on the inside. His heart no longer turned to the Lord. See, and that's the thing. It's not a one-time deal. It's not a one-time deal. No, because Paul says this, being renewed day by day by day by day. We think we're going to, once we're born again, you know, we think we're going to have our minds renewed by how much we read and read. And please do not misunderstand me. Read the testimony, because it will produce in your heart an expectation to see Christ. It will. Nothing else will. The perfect testimony, nothing else will produce that expectation. Everyone who declares Christ declares him from the testimony. That's what Paul said. I declared unto you how that Jesus died, buried, rose again, according to the Scripture. But we think our minds are going to be renewed by the amount of Scripture we read. No, no, no. That'll bring you to the point where your heart can finally yield to the voice of the Lord and turn. The day appears. The evening, darkness over here, the evening and the morning were the first day. And then the evening and the morning were the second day. And the evening and the morning and the third day. But it's all on the inside of the heart. See, we look at it with our natural eyes and we say, oh yes, this day, this is the first day I'm born again. Well, you're already in the day if you're born again, but like the guy in John chapter 9, you're born blind. And then, you know, I'm just using an example. And then this is the second day I'm born again. No, once you're born again, you're in the day. Now your heart must turn to see the day you're in, lest you continue blind. Blindness is another term for ignorance. Why? Because if you don't see, you don't know. The guy was in John chapter 9, the guy was in the natural creation. He had no clue what it was about. He had no clue. He had no concept. Well, I'll say it this way. He did have a concept. It wasn't based on reality. He had his concept. Okay? According to his mind. But it wasn't reality until the Lord opened his eyes. All right? So, Saul wasn't obedient outwardly, and the reasoning that the Lord said, for he hath quit from following me. His heart stopped. His heart was no longer with the Lord. And you can hear it in Saul's voice. You know, Samuel, let's go to sacrifice to the Lord thy God. In contrast, we have David, who you find it in Samuel and in Samuel and the other book, maybe the Kings, I'm not sure, but definitely in Psalms as well. The Lord my God. The Lord my God. One, and you hear this also in one of the Psalms, this is the desire of David. One have I desired of the Lord. I love this. One have I desired of the Lord. Not one thing, it's just one have I desired of the Lord, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, that my heart may continue here. In that day you will know I am in my Father, you are in me, and I am in you. You cannot be in Christ if Christ is not in you. From old covenant to new covenant. We try to do things on the outside. It's very simple. It's the turning of the heart. And you say, well, that requires nothing of the outside. That's correct, because you're not in the old covenant. You're in the new covenant. And having heard the truth, all we can do is come to the point where it's like, okay, so I need to turn my heart, Lord. How do I do it? I can't even turn my own heart. How do I do it? Oh, it's beautifully found in, I think it's 2 Kings, with Elijah and the prophets of Baal, Mount Carmel. Oh, beautiful prayer of Elijah. He does all these things. He gathers up the wood, all of that, or the stones. I can't remember. He repairs the altar. There it is, right there. He repairs the altar in the midst of Israel. See, all that is an understanding of what's already taken place. That's it. That's it. This is an understanding. That's all this is. It's like you have no clue of what's already taken place. Right here. He repairs the altar, puts a sacrifice on it. God consumes it, shows that God is pleased with it. And then his prayer is, Lord, that this people may know that I've done all these things according to thy word, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. New covenant. And myself included, I'll pray this sometimes when I notice that the phrase, I'm off. when I found that my heart is no longer turning unto the Lord, but turned unto something else. Usually it's my own face. You know, and it's a stink, you know, and I like to say it this way. You can get close to a skunk and you're going to stink after a while. That's not your odor. That's not you. That's not your life. Because when you get away from it, the stink goes. We just don't know the beautiful fragrance of Christ, who is our life. That's it. We just don't know. We just don't know. So, the heart turning to the Lord. I find myself at times, I'll pray this, Lord, I am in such a whirlwind. You know, like that cartoon, the Tasmanian Devil. Man, you're spinning 90 to nothing. I can't stop it. The bus is going downhill, 110 mile an hour. I can't put the brakes on. The brakes aren't working at this point. I'm going to crash and burn. I just don't know how bad and how long it'll be before I do. You know, the prayer instantly. It's a new covenant prayer. Turn my heart back unto you again, because I am dwelling in my own little illusion, in my own little creation, in my own little mirage, and I have no clue. In this state, I have no clue who my life is. In this state, I have no clue of reality. Turn my heart back unto you again. And the Lord is faithful to that prayer. Why? When it pleased God to reveal His Son in me. It pleases the Lord. The whole deal with 2 Corinthians chapter 3 is that he's, and even into chapter 4, Paul is saying, all right, there remains a veil over the heart, not like the glory of Moses, it was on his face and faded, because it was on the outside and faded, but going into... Nevertheless, when the heart, now it's the heart, now it's a heart issue. From old covenant to new covenant, now it's a heart issue. Nevertheless, when the heart turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Verse 18, but we all, Paul saying, but we all whose hearts are turned with open face, with an unveiled face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed, are transformed into that same image. From glory, and that word from, I never knew this. I just knew that it was true, but I actually searched out. The word from is from a glory that's on the out, from a glory of the old covenant that's on the outside, afar. To glory. That term to means on the inside. You go from in your understanding, from one state of glory where you think God is one place and you're another, to the new covenant glory where God is on the inside. And then later on in verse chapter 4, verse 6, he goes on to Paul, keeping in context, he goes on to say, but as God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in on the inside, in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. When our heart turns to the Lord, we come from old covenant in our heart to new covenant in our heart. And I say in our heart, because the moment you're born again, you're in the new covenant. Reality is there already. You have a life. Your life is Christ. You have no other life. In that day, you will know, I am in my Father, you are in me, and I am in you. We just don't know. We have no clue. But everything happens immediately at new birth. At new birth, there is a change. The change is Christ. No longer you, but Christ is present. When our hearts turn to the Lord, continue to turn to the Lord, and the light of life appears in our heart, the light of the glory of God found in the face of Jesus Christ appears in our heart, we, listen to this, we become aware of that change. See, God doesn't have to do anything more. But if our hearts have not turned to the Lord, or if they've not continued to turn to the Lord, we'll say, well, God, you need to change this about me. Because I'm born again and I sure don't act like it. You need to change this about me. I mean, even with the disciples, Jesus one place, disciples the other. They, what's going on, guys? They get into it. What's going on? Well, blah, blah, blah. You need to change this, Lord. Or you need to change my thoughts. You need to do this. He doesn't have to do anything. All he does is show you your life. And you automatically, like my example with the doctor, you'll automatically act like it. And I don't want to bring it down into our actions, because it's not about the actions. It's about the heart. Because you can have outward actions and the Lord still say, I never knew you. It counted for nothing to me. What counts to me is face-to-face relationship. That's new covenant. New covenant. Moses in the old covenant said, Lord, I just want one thing. Just one thing. Let me see your glory. That's it. And I know that it because Moses also is a type of Jesus, it says that the Lord spoke to Moses face to face, but as a man, he said, I just want one thing. I just want to see your glory. The Lord says, no, man cannot see my face. Cannot see. No, not for you. Not for this time. Not for this covenant. No. And yet that's the purpose of the soul. In the new covenant, the Lord says, this is it. Face-to-face relationship. Face-to-face. Beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord. Automatically changed, transformed in that same image. Becoming aware of the change that has already taken place at new birth. I've already ran out of time, but I just had one more passage, real short passage, that I'd been looking at. And Jesus told this parable, and I know it. He was talking to the Pharisees and religious rulers during it, but he said, he said basically something like, listen to this parable. A man had two sons, and he told the first one, go out and work in my field. And he said, no. And then it says, then he told the second son, go out in my field to work. And he said, yes, I'll go, and didn't go. And then of the first son, it says, and then it repented him, and he went. And then he asked, so who did the will of his father? And they said, well, the first one. And then he goes on to tell them about themselves. But the thing is, he says, it repented him. Something happened in his heart. Therefore, what he did outwardly was an automatic of what happened in his heart. See, I don't see just the outward doing of things, because that's old covenant. It's an issue of the heart in the new covenant. It's on the inside. Because when you're born again, it doesn't mean Jesus just showed up and now you can walk hand in hand with him. No, that's old covenant. When you're born again, Christ is in you. He is in you. He is in you. He fills his house. He fills his temple. He is present. That's new covenant. It's an issue of the heart, where the heart now must turn to see the one who's present. So, from old covenant to new covenant, I'm not sure how that falls in line with an Easter service or sermon or whatever, but it's the truth. It's the truth, and I don't have to hoop and holler to share the truth in that. You know, sorry guys, if that's what you're expecting. But that's the truth right there. We are in new covenant. You know, till Jesus was crucified, dead, and buried, the new covenant, you were in old covenant. But having been crucified, dead, buried, raised again, he brought in the new covenant where man could partake now, where man could come into the purpose for which man was created. And it all continues. It continues in the heart. This, thy seeing me hereafter. It's an inward thing, not an outward thing. So forgive me because I've gone long on time. I have no clue. I've probably gone really long, but the Lord bless you all. And like I said, this is just where he has me in my heart. It's all on the inside thing. And I'm seeing everything, even obedience. Being, if you're not obedient in the heart, hey, just don't bother. You know, if it's all in the heart. It's all in the heart. He doesn't care what we do outwardly. In reality, because all that's an automatic of whatever's working in your heart.
That's right.
He cares what's in your heart. When he appears, and it pleased the Lord, the request that Solomon made. That's a new covenant request. That's a new covenant prayer. That's something of the new covenant. You know. So the Lord bless you all. If you're born again, you're in the new covenant. And may the Lord reveal his Son in us. Amen.